Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Last month to spend more time with family and pursue perhaps some other opportunities. What do you think about sort of his time at Memphis? How good was it for Mike to, you know, get that taste of college basketball and the grind of, you know, coaching at a full-time level? You know, I'm kind of asked you to speak for him a little bit, but what sort of is your perspective on those 2 years for Mike?
I mean, my perspective is unbelievable opportunity. Thank you to Penny Hardaway for giving him the opportunity. I think it was awesome for the city. It was awesome for Mike. I mean, Mike learned a lot. The city learned a lot. I mean, you know, Coach Hardaway giving Mike that opportunity, you know, our family's very thankful. And I thought it was a great learning experience for Mike from just a different perspective from being a player to a coach. And I think, you know, he taught those kids a lot, you know, about basketball. I thought he was a major asset to the city, but I completely understand, you know, why he stepped down. I mean, you got Mason Maverick, you got one shot at being a father. They're in high school right now, and this is the time that Mike really wants to be involved, and he's in a unique situation financially where he can do that. Mm-hmm. I respect that. And I mean, you got one, as we're seeing all through this pandemic, you're really seeing what's important to you. And I think Mike just, you know, he's dedicated his whole life, you know, to basketball. I mean, it was extreme. Everything was, you know, basketball. And I think he stepped back and said, you know what? You know, I really want to make sure that I'm heavily involved in something special with my family and my kids and my, you know, his son. That's where he went with it. And I thought it was a great experience.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Ernie, what time do I need to be there tomorrow? Just to start the instruction.
You know, it's 6 to 8 p.m. And
okay.
You know,
I'll be ready.
Great to have you there, because I know you're just, you know, it'd be a little better though if you brought Jason, someone who can really evaluate talent.
Yeah, know, no, like, I know. Wow. You know, absolutely. I'm excited to work along Bob and Scott and Keelan and Eric. You know, I think I can bring a whole hell of a lot with, you know, my mid-range, you know, off the catch.
Oh, make sure you're there about 9:30 p.m. then, if that's what your plan is. It'll be over. We'll let you mop the floor up for us, clean it up.
That's what we need.
All right, man. Get out of here. Appreciate it, man. We'll see you this week.
Thank you, Coach.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care of yourself. Be safe out there.
Yep.
All right, guys.
He is Ernie Kuiper, Hoop City Basketball Club president. Big-time event. I'm glad it's happened. I'm glad they're putting it on, and I look forward to getting out there and seeing. I have not seen J.D. Davison play. I have not seen Sky Clark play. You know, and it'll also nice to be see. You know, it'll also be nice to see Jonathan and Mason in game action as well. So Tuesday is skill work. Wednesday they're having a game, and then Thursday they're having another game. Cool. So I'll be able to catch a little bit of Wednesday. Probably won't get to see much Thursday because I think it tips off at noon. But again, if you know, I will be providing my sort of knowledge and instruction on jump shots if you need some help.
No, don't need it. I know that stream going to be buzzing like the Jeff Calkins show.
Man. Yes, it is.
College coaches.
Yes, it is.
Going to be tuning in. You think I can get that stream link?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's on Facebook, bro. It's on it's
that's right. You said just go to the
Hoop City Basketball Club Facebook.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. I don't. It's not like a secret link or anything.
No, we can
all blow that thing up.
Yeah, it's not like the Bahamas where they're. I mean, they're going to have a more reliable stream than the Bahamas did, which is kind of ridiculous. But yeah, Tuesday is the skill and drill work. Wednesday is the game, and then Thursday is another game. So I'm glad Ernie's put. You can't keep Ernie out, man. He's going to do something. Because they were going to Vegas, like he said, it got canceled. And that's when he decided he was going to sort of put something on locally, you know.
I know Herd was saying the same thing about trying to get out to these places like Atlanta and all that. You got to worry about what's going on there. And this stuff getting shut down in some places. So understood. And you're trying to do something for the kids, too. And particularly these ones that, you know, would be blowing up right now. We talked about that, too, in terms of the commitment with Cameron Jones, who committed last week to Marquette, the team Thad player. So I think it's a great thing. Obviously, get some more eyes on these guys for the guys that really need it, and others will continue to blow up. And those were Patriot missiles, John, that shot down Scuds.
Okay.
Got that reference a little off, and you didn't correct me.
I'm sorry.
From the Gulf War, a little early in the show.
You know, I'm not really a Gulf War historian.
Musa, saying that was Musa. Blocking shots and tracking stuff. Appreciate the correction from the great Jarvis Greer.
Thank you, Jarvis. Thank you for all you do.
Patriots took down Scuds.
All right, we'll come back. Interesting news I got over the weekend about the BLM helmet decal.
Mm-hmm.
Went kind of viral. Obviously, I've had to hire an agent and representation, but we'll get into what happened over the weekend. A significant decision from a top 20 college basketball player who is going to a non-traditional
school. How about that?
As these things go. Lots to get to in the rundown. We're going to do that when we come back. Jason and John, 93 FM, ESPN.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say play 92.9 ESPN.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company, which has reopened at 50% capacity. They've instituted sanitation procedures greater than what the CDC and health department require, including a three-step approach to sanitizing tables so you can get back inside right now. So go order online at memphisbbqco.com.
Recent weather taking a toll on your roof? A-Team Roofing has you covered, literally, with their 24-hour tarp service to stop further damage.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
This is Dave Wolf, President and General Manager at Southland Casino. I want everyone to know that Southland is ready to welcome you back. We have a new program in place to help us all stay safe. So if you're ready to play, the most spacious casino floor in the Mid-South is open for you. Blackjack is live, the slots are rolling, and our clean team is on the job. So make this short trip to Southland Casino. Together, we'll play it safe.
Must be 21 plus. Play responsibly. For help quitting, call 800-522-4700.
Yeah, we're all busy with important things to do. But don't forget, it's also important to laugh. Laughing keeps you sane. So for your sanity's sake, check out Comedy Now on radio.com.
After college, I moved into my own apartment. It's near where my parents live. It's across the hallway.
Comedy Now plays nonstop stand-up comedy from the best comedians in America.
I'll tell you what place I like on the plane is that little bathroom. It's like your own little apartment on the plane.
Listen to Comedy Now anytime on radio.com, on your desktop, smart speakers, or the free radio.com app.
My City Rides allows you to lease to own a brand new motor scooter to get where you need to go, and they provide training with their scooter school. We're talking with rider Mike Davis. Mike, did you already know how to ride?
I had never driven a motorcycle before My City Rides.
Tell us a little bit about scooter school.
Scooter school largely consisted of two parts. One part was a classroom format that focused on laws, safety, and equipment. The second part was actual on-scooter training in an empty nearby parking lot.
Were you scared at all?
I was terrified I would wreck the training scooter.
So how did it go?
So they didn't push us to do any of the exercises until we were ready. We started off slow. First was balancing, then riding in a straight line, then turning one way, then another. Towards the end, we worked on emergency techniques such as fast braking.
So what would you tell someone who is considering the My City Rides program?
If you're thinking about it, don't wait. It's almost impossible to find more reliable and more fun transportation for $90 a month. It's a lot of fun. It's also cheap.
Thanks, Mike. To find out more, visit MyCityRides.org. That's MyCityRides.org.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
This is Mayor Jim Strickland. We have recently seen an increase in the number of COVID-19 cases in Memphis. We are now at a critical point in the fight against this virus. For months, you've heard me and the medical experts talk about the need to wear a mask and to social distance. But there are those in this community who, for whatever their reasons may be, are not taking this virus seriously. I'm here to tell you they should. You can't argue with the numbers. The choice is yours to put yourself and others at risk or to do the right thing. Wash your hands, practice social distancing, wear a mask when out in public, and please, if you have any symptoms, stay home from work and get tested. Testing is free and locations are available throughout the city. To save lives and to get this community back to work again, it's going to take each of us doing our part. Stay safe and stay strong.
It's so on point, like it's so musically correct. I don't want to clash. Like I'm trying to just put like, that's what I'm saying. Bobby.
Self in the kitchen.
I'm trying to stay up on my iPhone. Told my bitch I love you. That was just a typo. That bitch drive me crazy. She gon' make me psycho. Yeah. Everything I've been through, yeah. Something only I know. Hey. I'm trying to stay up on my iPhone. Told my bitch I love you. That was just a typo. Hey. That bitch drive me crazy. Hey. She gon' make me psycho. Hey. Everything I've been through, hey. Something only I know. Hey, I'm a legend just like Michael. My bitch is ungrateful, so I'm out with my side.
Every around this time, we do the rundown. Why don't we go ahead and knock that out?
Now, it's the rundown. The biggest stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, so a couple things that we need to address here on the Jason and John show. One of them is that I will have you know, Mr. Smith, is
yeah,
that according to fake news, according to Jawa, who is a friend of the show, wouldn't you say? Jawa Horn, who calls in,
he's redeemed himself as far as I'm concerned, and you've always loved him.
Plus,
he invited you to the barbecue I saw over the weekend,
I was actually going to get into that. I was going to play this this video. He posts a lot of content.
he has a job as a comedian as well.
But yeah, I want to play this. I want to play this video from Jawa. I guess this was Thursday night.
Hey, let everybody see my face. Want to see it? First of all, I want a big shout out to my man, our coach, Tiger Coach Ryan Silverfield. Your leadership been amazing. First, you led that march on campus. Now you put the Black Lives Matter right on the helmet, and they got upset with you. But coach, don't let them haters bother you. You've been doing an amazing job. You're recruiting. Keep it up, okay? This got to be quick. John Martin, GP, hey, y'all welcome to the barbecue, baby. Especially GP. GP been with us for the whole time. For the whole time. Now everybody's with him. John, I heard you lose your voice dealing with Black Lives Matter. Now, to them haters, you see this door? Walk out of it.
There you have it from Jawa. He's invited me to the cookout, Jason, and I do accept. I accept the invitation to the barbecue and look forward to it. You drive, though.
I'm sure you will enjoy.
You drive because, you know, I tend to get turnt, you know, at the cookouts, you know, so we need a DD.
Smart.
But what's interesting about this is all in sort of the wake of the Black Lives Matter helmet decal for Memphis football. What you see is a serial case of straw man arguments. Let's make this about something that it's not. Let's not focus on what it means. Let's focus on, you know, could it represent an organization that may or may not have quote unquote Marxist views. Let's not just focus on the phrase. Let's not just focus on the fact that Black Lives Matter. Let's try to make it about something that it's not. Let's make an anti-political statement. Political. That's what you're seeing. I mean, don't go to the Memphis football Facebook page unless you want to get infuriated. I mean, it's just insane.
I touched on that last week.
There are so many small-minded imbeciles that we live amongst that it's depressing. What was interesting and another sort of wrinkle to this is that, yes, there have been people who who have threatened financial, they have said, I'm not renewing, I'm not giving another dollar to Memphis football or the program, I'm not, going to buy season tickets, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. I got from a very, very reliable source on Thursday or Friday that a prominent University of Memphis donor has informed the school that basically requested a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet of all the money that they lose, as a direct result of the Black Lives Matter helmet decal decision. Make a spreadsheet of that, of the money lost, of the donations lost, whatever it is, and this donor is going to step up and not only match that, but double it. And believe me, people are like, well, how will they know? If they lose donations because of the Black Lives Matter decal, the person on the other end of that phone is going to let them know. Trust me. Trust me. So you're hollow. Here's what I'll say. Times are changing, people. They are changing fast. They are changing rapidly. And your empty, hollow financial threats, your fiscal threats, cannot stop them. Times are changing. And it's a great thing to see. The University of Memphis president, Dr. Rudd, said on Thursday afternoon, I think he had a really nice statement. I think he needed to sort of say something. This is a very important issue. And his statement was pretty unequivocal. He said, these are difficult and divisive times in our country. It has never been more critical for us to come together, support one another, confront our challenges, recognize our shortcomings, and move forward with common vision and shared values. Our Tiger football team recently decided they will wear a Black Lives Matter emblem on their helmet during the upcoming season. I want to make clear this does not represent endorsement of any political entity or affiliated group. It represents a commitment to social justice and American values that we all embrace but have not fully realized as a country. As a veteran who served during the Gulf War, I can speak personally to an unwavering dedication to our constitutional values, with a passionate and steadfast commitment to liberty, equality, and free speech. The exercise of free speech is essential to a representative republic. I support our athletic department, our head coach, and our football team. I am proud of our young men for demonstrating leadership, encouraging civility, and for their genuine efforts to unite us so our University of Memphis family can become even stronger together. Now, a lot of you that have asked, who is the donor? Who is, and I can tell you it was kind of funny, like people were sharing text with me that they had sent to certain people who said, nope, it wasn't me, couldn't be me, because they don't have that kind of money. But it was a good moment, and I think, it obviously emboldens the university when they know that they won't face any kind of financial ramifications.
When you got support like that, too, coming from that high, and clearly it's got to be high to be in a position to do that. I thought it was clearly great news. You're right. Things are changing because I'm not sure if you're 4 years ago, this happens. You don't have corporations now saying, right, Okay, it's the right thing. Now you're in the minority. It's getting to a point where that's the deal. You start this, hey, I'm going to pull my season tickets. And maybe you think, hey, there's going to be a lot more with you than there are now. But there's been this, what we hope clearly is going to lead to some real change, but
right,
but an attitude change. There's that's gone all the way up to the corporate level is really the second part of the rundown. What's going on with the Washington Redskins,
yep,
and how in this case Fred Smith, willing now to sell his minority stake in the Redskins because they want the name change. But that's the point, is even 3-4 years ago, maybe that corporate pressure wasn't there. Maybe because you're still the majority, those folks that want to hang on, right, to that. No, that again, I take it back to the kneeling the flag issue there. Back then, nobody was willing to step up You know, other than let's say there were a few. I mean, Nike got behind Colin and stayed behind him.
Yep.
But it wasn't the popular thing to do. Now it is. You know, it's because again, it's easier now because you've had companies step out. Once one, two, three, four, five, right? Once they do it, it makes it easier for these other corporations to do it and say in the name of right. But that's the difference now is that and it boiling all the way back down to your Facebook page where guy comes out says. Hey, I'm going to pull my season tickets, and maybe 4 years ago, there's a bigger crowd with him. Maybe even a majority that does. No, a job is to sell season tickets, but now there seems to be again clearly a change in this short time. And look, it took some. I mean, look what it took to get us here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
In some case, look, not believing the police brutality in front of our eyes. In some cases, not realizing how widespread these protests were going to be and how people were really truly feeling. Right. So there's all of that to consider in this. But I thought it was – it says we were – those of us that are graduated from the U of M, but folks connected to it, period, you don't have to be U of M to be proud, I think, of the step they took, right, more so thinking about their players than anything else, and especially the dollar here. You stand up, too, when you've got another supporter that's got your back. Right, a U of M person that's willing to double up the amount. I thought it's tremendous. It's just said a lot about that university. These the news you've reported, no question about it.
Yeah,
that makes you more proud of the place you graduated from. But even as a Memphian, I feel like you've got to be proud of that, even if you're not connected directly to the university.
And would you like to just go ahead and announce that it was not you? You were not the booster.
You see my car out there? I think it's pretty obvious it's not me.
You were not the donor.
And I suspect it wasn't Penny, because you can't say around here that he's a booster.
Well, he's not a booster.
Not anymore.
Well, he's not.
Well, so. he never really, technically he's a supporter of the university, well, but now they're trying to get him on booster.
Okay, yes.
Side note, we don't need to get back into that. We're both on the same side
I did get a lot of that, though. I did get a lot of that. Like, people were joking, like, that's really nice of Penny.
What about dut, 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 dut. What about JT? Maybe or when good for him.
I don't think he's a. I don't think
he would want it. He would want it leaked.
Yeah, he's not a University of Memphis booster. You know, like he's just a.
He's not.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's a real.
He's never given anything.
I don't think he's a real advocate of the university. I think you know he repped for like a hot minute in 2008. You know, and then he was pretty much done. I mean, have we seen him at a Memphis game
He came back here and did the fight song. Was that for? That was in front of all the people.
He was inducted into the Memphis Music Hall of Fame again. On the day they beat Ole Miss.
But he's pushing out Memphis again. What are you talking about?
I mean, he ain't done nothing. That was 2015. He ain't done a damn thing since.
$1. Surely
I can't say he's not giving a dollar, but
many times he's worn the Memphis hat.
I don't. I mean, has Memphis. He bought something that has Memphis logo on it? Does that make him a booster? I guess.
No.
But has he like given a gift to the university? Like, I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think he has. Regardless, that's not the point. The point is that there's somebody that stepped up, and you hope to see more of that, you know, throughout the country, because I don't think Memphis is going to be the only school that makes a decision like this. The Big East already announced for its basketball teams it's going to have the BLM patch on their jerseys. You know, you just hope that that these schools and these programs get that appropriate support elsewhere around the country.
Next story.
All right, like I touched on, and we will get to Jason Fitz here momentarily, because we missed last week with him, and he was just on the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. But we talked a little bit about it. The Redskins name controversy, which seems to be, coming to a head here to a point this thing's going to pop, and it feels like maybe much like some of us felt about the Confederate flag that, look, this pressure's great. It might take some time, but you quickly see whether it was players threatening to transfer, folks in the state of Mississippi, student-athletes in the state of Mississippi, or, you know, Greg Sankey, SEC, a business pressure not to have, you know, events in Mississippi. You saw the Confederate flag come down there. Well, corporate pressure now facing Daniel Snyder, the owner of the Redskins. We saw where now FedEx founder, chairman, CEO Fred Smith, one of three minority owners in the Redskins, seeking to now sell their share in the team because they're not happy being a partner with owner Daniel Snyder, according to the Washington Post. Now, this comes after FedEx formally asked the Redskins to change the team name Thursday, which apparently was a surprise. Yeah. At least it's been reported was a surprise to Daniel Snyder. He had considered these folks, you know, maybe this part of it, that they're willing to sell their shares. I don't know that he thought Fred was willing to go this far.
Right.
And so maybe that part of it's a surprise to him. But this growth of this, sort of this building up to this point, I got to imagine he had to see coming, because like I've talked about, most corporations have crossed this line now where they're saying, look, we want to be on the side of right. And in this case, we know that right, no matter how you felt about it or grew up with it, it's time to reanalyze it. If you were one of the ones that said, nah, don't need to do it. No, it's time because of what it represents. And so, again, Daniel Snyder, a man who once said, we will never change the name of the team, right now, because folks like Fred Smith are willing to not just say it and not just want it to happen, but sell their shares in it, their minority stake in it. You're going to see this come to a head, and it may happen very soon. Now, a lot of people are holding up Ron Rivera, the new coach with the Redskins, as a guy who is hoping to kind of get this done quickly, to where, maybe you get the name switched out immediately. I thought this would be a long process. Figured Daniel Snyder would be putting up for a fight for a long time because of everything it entails when you change up something that emblem has become a part of their fabric. I mean, it's a merchandise, everything else. People have grown up with it for years. So you figure maybe that takes a while to phase out, right? Before maybe you take a while before you pick a new name. But this has come to the urgency of it feels, it feels urgent enough that they might change the name immediately. There's been some suggestions already,
like
Hogs, like Senators.
Washington Hogs?
Yeah.
No.
Well, that used to be sort of their offensive line's mantra.
No.
They were Hogs.
Yeah, no.
I'll give you some more. Americans, Generals, other military name to sort of capture the DC in it,
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
Okay.
How about
Red Hawks? One Miami University helpfully suggested this one, according to CBS Sports, all the way back in 2014. Red Hawks?
No.
Okay.
I don't like colors.
Clearly not doing the Braves. The Atlanta Braves going to be, they've got their own question marks on that.
Is there time coming?
Yeah.
Braves is, I mean.
Seminoles doesn't seem to be. Seminoles apparently down at Florida State.
Well, okay, so there's like Seminole County down there, right? Like, so is Seminoles to me is different than Redskins. Like, Redskins almost sounds like slang.
Seminoles is a proper.
Right, exactly.
Right, and some of this has become character.
It's like a historical sort of. Now, I mean, I do know they have that stuff. They may end up doing away with that.
Well, and especially the tribe up in Cleveland and what's on, because again, the caricature of that in today's day. And I was listening to Jeff Passan, who is the insider, MLB insider for ESPN, talking about how he grew up with that face on a Cleveland baseball hat, and he still got it in his basement today, but hadn't worn it in a while, so hadn't looked at it. But we're talking about it. It's a time where America's reanalyzing anything, everything. You look at that right now, it's easy to see how offensive it could be to some, essentially from the way it's drawn. And so something that's where we're at right now, something as a country, things we've all accepted for years, we're reanalyzing how we should be looking at them. And so, again, the Redskins situation is where Daniel Snyder is right now, with people demanding change and him obviously going to have to succumb at some point. Seems like this is inevitable now. And looks like we said, even for some of us old heads, thought it might take a little bit longer. Looks like it's going to be pretty pretty quick. Bravehearts, Warriors, Renegades.
Bravehearts, no.
Yeah, I've seen some of these other names. Red Tails,
no,
and a tribute to the planes flown by the Tuskegee Airmen. Thanks a lot for the short consideration there from you. Okay, all right. Again, that
I would go with the Washington Kaepernicks. That's what I would do. Just keep.
Dude, the Titans are going to sign Kaepernick. What's he got? He had nothing.
Oh, they
he
are?
Can't be the Washington. They should.
Okay.
They need a backup.
Mate, Colin Kaepernick going to be 55 years old. Y'all going to be telling the NFL team to sign him, man.
But man, what's he like, 33? Who the Titans got?
He's
nobody's telling you that the guy's a starter, man, right now.
I am telling you he is probably the best thing the Titans have going. Yeah, them folks going to be all here saying, man, NFL team need to sign Cap. He's still out there, 48 years old. Man was a,
How dare you laugh at that now? He's better than most backups in the league. I already told you he's better than Glennon.
Look, man, he ain't. If you want to sign him to replace Glennon, that's fine. But I mean, I need to know exactly what my man has. He been working out for a comeback? You know,
I mean, he's 32, man.
Yes.
Okay.
He is 32.
He'll be 33 this year. That's what, 2 years older than Cam?
Yes. And,
we're sitting in a lot of people.
But he hasn't been in the league in 4 years.
Understood. But nobody's saying he's going to lead some team to the playoffs. We're saying as a backup, a guy that holds the clipboards on most Sundays and might have to come in to spell Tannehill for a little bit.
Man, it's going
to
be 2070. We're going to wheel Jason into the studio.
Dude, what he was running.
Colin Kaepernick.
What the NFL is running, this man been running since the old days.
Now, you know
he's
I'm
the
down.
One that changed
now,
the game.
Now, you know I'm down with the cause.
He's where
you know
it started.
I'm down with the cause. But I'm just saying there has to be a point where we say, okay, what can Cap really bring to a team? You know, he's been out of the game for
again,
40
nobody,
years.
Nobody faces the pressure now that they would have at one point about, this is anti-military. Everybody gets
now,
that
2017,
now. Again, from a corporate standpoint and all of that.
It was wrong. The way he got blackballed was wrong.
Jumped on. What are you talking about? And everybody making it an American thing. That's what I'm saying. That part's changed.
I mean, in 2016, he had 16 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, okay?
Oh, you're talking about the football.
Yeah, what else would I be talking about?
Oh, I thought you were talking about how the country's changed. I thought you jumped off. You just want to discredit this man's football ability.
Four years later.
What I'll give you is that he didn't look good when he did the tryout. He didn't help himself. What was that, about a year ago?
Yeah.
I can't remember how long ago that was now.
Didn't he turn into
a little bit of a circus, but he had some scouts out there, African-American scouts, that were down for his, like, look, we want to see you do well in this thing. He kind of jerked the chain a little bit about where it was going to be, you know, that. But again, forget that. That's set to the side. Can he be a number two quarterback in the NFL where so many backups are absolute scrubs right now? I would tell you he could. I would tell you, especially, again, I'm not telling you he can take over and take a team to the playoffs.
Yeah, well.
But can he run an offense? Hell, if Lamar Jackson's – did you see the skills contest?
Mm-hmm.
If that man can be the MVP, okay, at quarterback of the league, and look, he does some things there's NFL quarterbacks can't do. And you can't – it's hard to game plan for Lamar Jackson. He's made a believer out of me. But that dude ain't – his accuracy ain't his thing. And so if it comes down to Kaepernick having to run around a little bit just to keep an offense afloat as a backup, as a number two, and then make a throw here and there, absolutely at 32 years old, be 33 in November, I think he could do that as a backup. Not that I'm saying some team's got to break its neck to do it, but the Titans don't have much behind Tannehill. Make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Anyway, there you have it. Colin Kaepernick. Washington Kaepernick's is likely going to.
This man said Washington Kaepernick.
Washington Caps, you know, kind of like that's like.
No, that's the Capitals.
I know. So you just make it a different spelling, you know, Washington Caps.
That is the most foolish thing I've ever heard of.
You could do Washington Express, you know, like the Memphis Express. Bring back the Express name. FedEx is involved. You know what I'm saying? How about the Washington Express? I'm not really super familiar with the DC history. You know, so I can't really give you a name for them. Like I could give you a name.
I feel like
for
it's
going
to be, you know, they're trying to be patriotic in some way because of where it is. But you just don't know what unifies all now. Somebody's going to have a problem with all that. If you go patriotic, that's right. They're going to try to politicize it. So I don't like. So you almost got to take something, you know, just some animal, you know, that everybody can just either be mad at or just, you know, get. Because either way, you take something, you know, that people might consider patriotic. Well, it won't be for some. So,
like what are the not, you know, divisive, you know, American terms now?
Hogs, because
I would go with
because
the Washington.
Still so many eat
Obamas. I mean, Obama is just not divisive. Everybody loved Obama.
You are a lie. Everybody loved Obama. That man couldn't even speak without getting heckled.
Okay, so not Obama. How about the
there towards the end? His own. Are you kidding me?
Okay, how about the Washington Hamiltons?
I tried to watch Hamilton this weekend on Disney. Have you heard the buzz about it being on Disney this weekend? It premiered. It was everywhere. People on
what
Facebook
did you think?
Talking. You want the honest truth from
we
old
may,
Jay
we
Smooth?
May, we may have to save your Hamilton review for after Fitz.
Yeah, it'll be a little different than others.
All right. Well, we'll continue to try to figure this one out.
Like high society.
Yeah. I will say it.
Feel cultured.
It struggled because it wasn't a movie. It was the
the live action performance, and you can tell, you know, you it's hard. It was I watched, you know, I've seen it live, so I know. But
yes, we knew John.
But yes, I've watched it live.
I've
personally
seen it live. I'm cultured.
I was
high
in the
society.
Orchestra, you know.
I saw it at the Orpheum, sitting in the expensive seats.
I'll volunteer to do that voice because I know that's what you were thinking. But
looking like them two dudes from the Muppets.
As somebody who has seen the live performance, you know, I will tell you, it was hard for me to get engrossed in this.
Was it 2 hours and 40 minutes live?
Yeah.
All right, then old Smoothie would have had a hard time,
yeah.
Especially at this age.
But you get an intermission, though, you know. You get an intermission, so that's the difference. Anyway, all right, we'll come back. Jason Fitz is going to join us. We'll talk to him about NBA, baseball, Black Lives Matter, Memphis football helmets, and more. Jason and John, 99.9 FM, ESPN.
My City Rides allows you to lease to own a brand new motor scooter to get where you need to go. And they provide training with their scooter school. We're talking with rider Mike Davis. Mike, did you already know how to ride?
I had never driven a motorcycle before My City Rides.
Tell us a little bit about scooter school.
Scooter school largely consisted of two parts. One part was a classroom format that focused on laws, safety, and equipment. The second part was actual on-scooter training in an empty nearby parking lot.
Were you scared at all?
I was terrified I would wreck the training scooter.
So how did it go?
So they didn't push us to do any of the exercises until we were ready. We started off slow. First was balancing, then riding in a straight line, then turning one way, then another. Towards the end, we worked on emergency techniques such as fast braking.
So what would you tell someone who is considering the My City Rides program?
If you're thinking about it, don't wait. It's almost impossible to find more reliable and more fun transportation for $90 a month. It's a lot of fun. It's also cheap.
Thanks, Mike. To find out more, visit MyCityRides.org. That's MyCityRides.org.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference. Like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help. Offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Imagine a coffee cup. It may seem small, but it comes from a small business. One of thousands on eBay, powered by millions of people, all working to get you exactly what you want. That's no small thing. That's everything. Get your thing on eBay.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Hi, it's Glenna Ward with Intercom Radio and Digital Solutions. For my entire career, I have helped Memphians with their advertising needs. So whether you need help with your radio advertising or a digital plan, call me. I have experience in helping all types of businesses reach their sales and branding goals. 901-337-9857. There's no cost in a conversation, so let's talk. Whether it is branding or a special event or sale, 901-337-9857. Thanks.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Jason, thank you for joining us every single Monday here on the show. You can hear him every afternoon on ESPN Radio. First Take, Your Take. He's all over ESPN. He was on ESPN this weekend for the hot dog contest. He joins us now. Fitz, how you been, man? Good to hear you.
It's good to be on with you guys. And, yeah, the hot dog contest was
surreal, gentlemen. I wasn't sure what to expect, and I don't know if you ever forget being that close enough to hear the noise of them actually choking down 75 hot dogs in 10 minutes for Joey Chestnut. But it was interesting, I'll say that much.
Did you feel validated? Because I believe beforehand you predicted record for Joey Chestnut, and he did that.
Yeah, I did actually feel validated, and I found out that I have a lot of degenerate friends in my life because many of them heard me talking about Joey and Mickey as both record-setting candidates, and suddenly they all put some cash on it. So I got a lot of texts from friends saying they made a lot of money. I'm thinking I should have been smart enough to do that myself because I'm telling you, Joey trains at a different level than everybody else, and Mickey Sudo had it in her head. She wanted to put up a record number, so I wasn't surprised that either of them dominated.
Yeah, we're talking to Jason Fitz. He joins us every single Monday here on this show. It is quite unbelievable. We have a lot of things to get to today, Fitz, with you. Some news today from Harvard was that they are going almost exclusively online. They are going to bring back a percentage of students on campus, but the majority of, if not all of, the instruction is going to be online. Again, I will reiterate that there are going to be kids and students living on campus. A lot of people have pointed to Wednesday as an inflection point for college football because all of a sudden now we care deeply about what Ivy League athletics is going to decide on when they're going to play their sports. Most people believe they are going to move to the spring. Do you expect that to be a domino? Do you expect that after the Ivy League announces, hey, we're moving our fall sports to the spring, that the SEC, that the Pac-12, that the Big Ten are going to look at that and say, well, if they're going to do it, we're doing it. Like, what do you expect the fallout to be after the Ivy League makes it official that they're moving fall sports to the spring?
I still think that the major college conferences that are worried about football are going to try and do everything. I mean, I don't think they give a damn what the Ivy League does, you know, and there's nothing that's going to make Alabama stop thinking about playing football right now. And there is a valid conversation to be had about, I mean, let's face it, guys, we were told that during the summer this would all sort of die off, right? Like the heat alone would stop the coronavirus thing, and we were all worried about what it would come back in the fall. Well, now we're finding out that obviously the heat not affecting it at all, right? So if you're the SEC and you're looking at it and saying, well, if we move to spring of next year, there is a valid question of how we can be sure that everything will be better by then either. So then you're really rolling the dice that you're going to take a chance on having no season at all, which is an economic impact I just think schools aren't prepared to handle. Plus, as has been widely reported, the NFL is not interested in playing nice with college football at all. So if they're not willing to move the draft, does college football really want to be looking at the possibility of having Clemson play without Trevor Lawrence because he doesn't want to put himself in a bad situation? You're not just talking Trevor Lawrence. You're talking hundreds of college football players that will say no to a March season, knowing what it means to their possibility of getting drafted in April. So as much as, you know, Harvard is being smart about this, I just don't think that the rest of the world is going to, the college football world particularly, is going to step back and say, hey, we should do this. Harvard's smart. They're going to step back and say, well, Harvard doesn't care about football as much as we do.
I feel like the SEC, the big dogs, will go on without fans if they have to, and even if they decide to do it this fall. But what about the little guys, Jason? How many of those guys, how many of the Memphises, the UCFs, if they can't? And I imagine in some places, maybe some places where the numbers aren't so high, maybe you can get in a few. But if the majority can't, can they survive? Can they truly survive?
I don't think so. You know, and that's the difficulty on it. There's a lot of schools that need the cash. And, yep, you know, what you're describing is, I think, what we're going to have. You're going to have 40 or 50 colleges around the landscape, even if it's only 30 or 40, that'll look across the landscape and say, well, we're comfortable playing. So they might try and play. And as they try and play, then, you know, there's going to be this haves versus have-nots at that point. And mm-hmm. What are we going to do realistically if Alabama, for example, or Florida or Penn State is so certain that they want to start playing that they do start, but then they can't handle the numbers and they end up closing down? So then will they play the rest of their season in the spring when the Pac-12 might be more comfortable? Like, I think we have to get really comfortable with the fact that there will be major conferences that sit out college football this season. How they manage it from there, I mean, then are we as a nation comfortable helping bailing out college sports? Because that's what's going to have to happen for a lot of these schools that will make no college sports revenue for the year. I don't see how their programs continue at that point. But, you know, that's the risk that I think that is forcing some schools to look at it and say, hey, we'll play no matter what.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're going to see the Pac-12 sit out for sure. I mean, they've definitely been – Larry Scott's been very vocal about the virus. And I definitely, you know, with the surges in Arizona and with California – you know, I definitely do not expect – although they've been pretty consistent about that from jump. You know, Gavin Newsom shut down bars and restaurants again on July 1. So it's really not that shocking.
USC's doing online.
Yeah, so I definitely do not expect to see Pac-12 in the fall. I mean, who knows if it'll be spring. You know, it's a hell of a question because it does present a logistical nightmare if there's no central person in college football, right? Like, it's just it's almost every man for himself. So, you know, what happens when Greg Sankey says, well, we're not stopping. I mean, we're the SEC. Like, we don't stop for anything, you know, and the American and the Big 12, they say we're playing on, but the Big 10's uncomfortable. And, you know, the ACC is uncomfortable and the Pac-12 is uncomfortable. Well, like, so logistically, you know, I think this is where really needing to have a czar, right? Like just one person that sort of, you know, makes decisions or announces decisions, you know, unilaterally for college football. This is where not having that person in place, you know, could be detrimental because, again, like how do you reconcile the fact that you're going to have, you know, like you said, SEC, Big 12, I'm just using them as an example, but not, you know, other power conferences. Like how do you reconcile that?
Yeah, and I don't think you do. I think, you know, it becomes about money at that point for everybody because how can there be a playoff if everybody's not playing, right? So does the SEC just play against SEC schools? Do they only play their conference schedule? You know, and look at James Franklin up at Penn State who said a couple of months ago that if schools are comfortable playing, they should play even if their conference as a whole isn't comfortable. But then you have James Franklin going back up to Pennsylvania and not taking his kids with him. So, like, you know, it's interesting how everybody seems to be putting the football need ahead. And, guys, the toughest question here, and this is an awful question to ask, but you got to be real. Like, let's look at Herm Edwards, for example. Herm's 66. What if Arizona State plays football and, God forbid, Herm Edwards gets coronavirus? What if we are looking at the actual issue of a, God forbid, of a death of an older gentleman that happens to run a football program somewhere all for this season? And I think that as much as we keep talking about the kids, and rightfully so, we also need to realize that the Nick Sabans of the world are not spring chickens, and by virtue of that, they are in a higher risk category. And I'm stunned that we're sitting here willing not just put the kids at risk, but also to put grandpas that run football programs at risk across the board just because the money side of it is so dominant.
Well, different sport, but it was Lionel Hollins, former Grizzlies coach who's now with the Lakers, who was flagged in terms of going to the bubble, but for those reasons. Did you think, Fitzy, this would happen this quickly with the Redskins, that Snyder would be forced like he has been? I mean, this was a guy that, you know, infamously said, you know, I'm never going to change this thing. It feels like it's going to happen. Did you think it happened this soon?
No, and I'm stunned it is happening. You know, and the fact is I've sat on air in my career and said this isn't a big deal. And, you know, I think what's happened for me, and I'm the first to admit it, like I've gone through this this sort of different personal growth through this process of becoming more informed in this era of social justice that we've been talking about so much. And really what's hit me across the board is I've been like so many people that sit there and say, hey, they surveyed. Well, you know, then I read the survey, and it's 540 people. I mean, there's over 5 million Native Americans in the U.S., and, you know, at some point you look across the board and say, if it's hurting people, why keep it? Now, I can already hear people clicking on their keyboards to say, well, where does it stop? And I don't know the answer to that. I genuinely don't. But, you know, at some point you've got to look at it and say what this word, what that phrase means is far – I think more daunting than a lot of us even realized a couple of years ago or even realized a couple of months ago. And if we're looking at the realistic possibility that the Washington football team is going to change their name, that to me signals that we are in the greatest era of social change we've ever seen in my lifetime. Because when corporations are starting to actually say, hey, we have to do the right thing here, because if we don't, we'll lose money and we'll lose ground with our customers. Like, that's the ultimate tell-all for where we are. And for Nike to take all the stuff off their site and for FedEx to come out and make a statement. Now, again, it's the same FedEx that was happy going into business with this team in 98, had no issues with that. But it's okay for everybody to turn around and say, we're rethinking things and we got it wrong. I think the most powerful thing here that can happen, twofold. One is a change of the name. Two would be for Dan Snyder to do what we all presume Dan Snyder will never do, and that's to come out and say, hey, I think we've had a realization and an eye-opening moment here where we realize we can all be better, and I'm proud to be part of something that is trying to be better. I mean, that's a statement that I hope Dan Snyder, you know, has the courage to make when he does change his name. And all indications from everybody is that it is happening. Yeah. So, you know, this is a stunning moment, and now I'm looking around the rest of the sports landscape. I'm not answering the question because I'm not qualified to know. Where does it stop? I don't know, but I know that if people feel offended in general by some of these names, then we end up seeing Cleveland change. We end up seeing what happens with Kansas City. I don't know the answers to these things, but I think suddenly we're looking across the board and saying nothing is not worth reexamining. And I personally never have a problem with that. Like, when we stop reexamining, we stop learning. When we stop learning, we stop growing. And then what's the point?
We're talking to Jason Fitz. He joins us every single Monday here on the show. Sort of sticking with that, Fitz, Memphis football made some pretty big news. I think it was last week. I don't know. It all runs together. But Memphis football announced last week that it was going to feature a Black Lives Matter helmet decal on its helmets whenever they play, spring, fall, February, I don't know. But they did announce they're going to feature a BLM decal helmet sticker. And as you can imagine, you know, for the most part, it was, I think, a positive response from people. Memphis football, I think, is the first Division I football program to make that kind of a step. Certainly they ain't doing that at Oklahoma State. But there was also some pushback. Some people threatened to cancel their season tickets. Some people said, I'm never supporting this program again. I did get a bit of information that there was a prominent booster and donor that stepped up and said, hey, make me a spreadsheet of all the money that you lose, and I will not only match it, I will double it. But these are tough decisions that, you know, every athletic department is faced with, right? And each one is not going to have that sort of, you know, magic bullet or benefactor that steps up and doubles all the money that they lose. So, I mean, if you're at a college or a university or an NFL team or whatever it is, how do you sort of move forward with, you know, the feeling that maybe you should say something, but knowing that if you do say something, you could be at risk, you know, financially? How sort of do you navigate, you know, these times?
Well, I think it's difficult because you mentioned, and we've talked a lot about the money side of everything. So, realistically, if you're a football program, you're using all of these kids for your program, and yeah, you're giving them an education, but part of what you're doing when you sit in their living room is you're saying, I stand with you, and we're going to make you a better man, and all of these things that coaches say when they stand in front of a player and his family and trying to convince them to come there. So if the players are standing up and say, we want to be heard, well, part of your sales pitch of coming to that school was that you're going to allow kids to have platform, and you're going to allow kids, you're going to stand with these kids. So how do you stand with kids on something that's super important to them when you know you might be standing against the donors that pay your checks? And, you know, I don't think that that's a particularly easy answer for every school to have to face, but realistically they're going to have to accept that there's consequence on either side. So the question is, do you want to keep the donors happy, or do you want to keep kids wanting to come to your school? Because I genuinely believe right now that kids across the country are watching what coaches say, and they're watching how coaches react to it. And obviously their families are watching what coaches say and how coaches react to it. So certainly Mike Gundy, for example, for all the trouble he got into with the t-shirt he wore and for the way those views were expressed, I mean, Mike Gundy might find that there's a certain group of players and families that are more apt to want to sign with Gundy. But he's also going to have to understand that when he stands in some living rooms, there are questions that he's going to have to answer. So Memphis has just told you by coming out and putting the BLM sticker on their helmet, they've told you that what they care about is standing beside what's important to their players and their students. And that's ultimately, I'll never fault the school for doing that. They just have to understand that there's some level of recourse, and every school is going to have to make that decision. Long term, who you listen to, players or donors? Because donors help you have great facilities, but you don't have a team without players. So it's a really tricky situation for teacher coaches, as I like to call them, since they're student athletes, for teacher coaches to be in. They're going to have to actually be something that's really difficult for coaches to be, genuine and real. And they're going to have to put how they feel out, because that's the only hill they'll be able to stand on. And I think you're going to see a lot of programs that in 3 or 4 years are feeling the effects of recruiting as a result of the stance that they took on this one way or the other.
It feels like, Fitzy, that basketball, one way or the other, we're all cautiously optimistic that it's going to get to the end. We know it's going to start, that they're going to be able to crown a champion. What are your feelings on baseball, where we see guys and, you know, David Price, the latest, opting out? Feels like we're, same thing, we're going to start, but your feelings on it ending with something relevant, I guess, Fitzy, right? A real team at the end, a real champion. What are your feelings in terms of getting toward the end of it?
I don't think we're going to get to an end. And it's because of everything we've talked about and the way the relationships are done, right? Like, for the NBA, they feel like everybody has their best interest. Adam Silver has their safety. Like, they have concerns, obviously, and they're talking about it. But through all of it, they're talking about it with a how-can-we mindset. Mm-hmm. We've already seen there's so much contention between Major League Baseball players and owners that what we're going to see, in my mind, are guys that need to get paid are suddenly going to have just a little back spasm or something in their leg that's not right. And, you know, guys that aren't comfortable with it when they start to see tests come back, and if we can't get this under control as a country and you're being asked to travel to different places, are you eventually just going to say, nah, I don't want to do that? And I think we're going to see that more so than ever, because Major League Baseball players weren't bought in from the get-go on how to get this done. They didn't want to do it this way. Yeah. So they're already unhappy, and when you're unhappy, boy, it's like any of us at our job, if you're unhappy, boy, you start taking more sick days, you know what I mean? And that's just – I think that's inevitable for Major League Baseball, and at some point – the test numbers are going to make players stand back and say, no, we just don't want to do that. And it's going to get uglier before it gets better for Major League Baseball, as opposed to the NBA, where I think it still could get ugly. But I think the players and the owners are coming together to say, even if it's ugly, how do we make it work?
Well, I mean, I think it's a searing indictment on baseball, because they spent the better part of, you know, listen, I mean, they – you know, let's just use that three-month span from late March to June. They spent the majority of that time where they could have been talking about safety protocols and how we're going to do this, haggling over money. I mean, that's what, you know, I think is not being discussed enough here, is that, you know, the reason why we're still waiting on test results, you know, for the Astros, and you've had a couple of teams cancel workouts today because they don't have results, because we didn't get enough time to, you know, I mean, the NBA released a 113-page document. I mean, they couldn't have been more elaborate. They couldn't have been more in detail about what they're going to do. And Major League Baseball, its owners and its players, were too busy spending that time arguing about who gets what. And I think that's the part of this that really is a bad, bad, bad sign and a bad look for Major League Baseball, that I truly, if they don't have a season, I truly have questions of whether they can bounce back from.
Yeah, and I don't think they can. And all of that speaks again to why, when you've got guys like David Price that are coming out and saying, you know what, I just don't need the $10 million. I'll just sit it out and wait. There are going to be stars that say that. Now, there's a lot of fringe players that won't. I get that. But there's going to be stars that say that in Major League Baseball. And, you know, that's just going to start to, at some point, make the entire thing crumble. It feels like it was all built on a house of cards, and you're exactly right about the wrong arguments the entire way. And, look, safety is an issue for every players' association. Even the NFL players are trying to figure out what happens and how it works. There's no easy answers on this, but it feels like if they had been talking about the right things the right way, maybe they could have had solutions in place from the get-go. But now they're too late to the party to do it, and they're too disenfranchised with each other about cash. So I think this thing's going to go horribly wrong.
You're exactly right, Fitz. The from the jump, the NBA's outlook was always, okay, how can we? Whereas the Major League Baseball's look, you know, the way they approached it was, why should we? You know, and I think that's a fundamental, you know, difference of opinion that, you know, I don't know if you can overcome. Fitz, man, you are the best as always. We appreciate
Thank you,
the time,
Fitz.
Man.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great week.
Yep.
You too, brother. He is Jason Fitz, host of First Take Your Take with Jason Fitz. We'll be right back. Jason Dunn, 929 FM, ESPN.
She serves too. Women make up about 16% of the American Armed Forces, and they've got a story to tell.
from what it's like to wear the nation's military uniform and break glass ceilings while in the military to transitioning to civilian life when their tour of duty is complete. Stay connected to the unique perspective of female veterans at ConnectingVets.com.
Whether you were a soldier, sailor, airman, or Marine,
ConnectingVets.com.
Hi, it's Glenna Ward with Intercom Radio and Digital Solutions. For my entire career, I have helped Memphians with their advertising needs. So whether you need help with your radio advertising or a digital plan, call me. I have experience in helping all types of businesses reach their sales and branding goals. 901-337-9857. There's no cost in a conversation, so let's talk. Whether it is branding or a special event or sale, 901-337-9857. Thanks.
Riverside is a small batch rye whiskey crafted in Memphis from the spirit of rock and roll. At 93 proof, every sip tells a story. Join us in our Rye Rebellion and pour a glass of Riverside Rye. Cheers, y'all.
Go against the current with Riverside Rye. Please drink responsibly.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Get your car ready for summer at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oil? Check. Battery? Check. Wipers? Check. And don't forget your cooling system. Right now, get Peak Long Life Universal Premixed Antifreeze and Coolant for $12.99 a gallon at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And earn double O rewards points with your purchase. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say play 92.9 ESPN.
Hey, listeners, it's Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. Don't let the spiders, mosquitoes, ants, termites, and all the other bugs ruin all your holiday celebrations. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852. We can take care of you from Memorial Day to Labor Day and all the year round. Give us a call today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.